You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey, it's Rick and Sherry from the Life in a Kilt podcast.
If you are a kilt wearer, a kilt lover, or simply like to gawk, come hang out with us every week on Life in a Kilt podcast.
We discuss kilt life, regular life, and everything in between and underneath.
We've got humor, interviews, sketch comedy, pop culture, beer reviews, even indie music. And we discuss it each week in a way that only we can.
Well, only the way I can.
Oh, hush. I discuss it so much better than
whatever.
You.
Anyway, discover the joys of kilt life without ever leaving the comfort of your own headphones. Kilts aren't required, but if you've got one, feel free to buckle up.
That's the Life in a Kilt podcast with Rick and Sherry every week on the ESO Network.
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you a long overdue sci-fi news podcast, though it's not going to be for this week, but for the post-Irma past couple of weeks that I've been kind of off the internet for a bit. But again, I haven't stopped planning, it's just taken me a while to kind of recover, and everyone is doing well at home, so it's not much of an issue. But something like this, which I've been through, and I'll talk about that in a moment, does take a lot out of you, both pre and post. So I am going to talk about my big three topics later on, but just to give you a heads up, I'm going to be talking about J.J. Abrams directing Star Wars Episode 9. I'm going to talk about the passing of Bernie Casey, and we're getting, supposedly, another Terminator movie with Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Cameron on board. So, that will be my big three topics, but let me take you back, way back, almost 25 years ago. And I had moved down to Miami about 6 months before Hurricane Andrew hit. And I was kind of excited about getting my first hurricane down in Miami, but being that I grew up in the Bronx, I'm like, oh, please, it's just a rainstorm. If we're lucky, maybe a tree gets knocked down. That's all. Well, the night of that hurricane, when it came, I heard this god-awful screaming outside my window, and it woke me up. Seriously, it scared the crap out of me. I thought it was some kind of massacre of animals being tortured or something to that effect, but it was the rain and the wind coming down so damn hard that it woke me out of sleep, and it really got me concerned. And so I started looking around. We had lost power in the middle of the night, and you know, my thinking was, since you have to kind of freeze whatever liquids you had, you put it in the freezer, so if you lose power, you still have it as cold, or at least you can sustain it a little bit longer. Well, my genius mentality, unlike my superior mind of today, said, hey, let's put these cans of sodas in the freezer. So this way, if they become, you know, we lose power, we have nice little ice-cold sodas. So as I'm digging out my flashlight and looking around to see what's going on, lo and behold, in the freezer are cans of soda that have exploded because of the pressure was too intense. And yeah, that was not a great move. And then we get the daylight coming up, and wow. It wasn't so much that we had a whole lot of devastation our way, other than, you know, some trees were down and tarps were missing from the open garages, the outdoor garages. But when I went out of the neighborhood and saw what was going on, everything south of where I lived, there was a lot more devastation that I've never seen in my life. Except for my times living in the Bronx, and namely the South Bronx, if you take a train and you see a lot of the neighborhoods before you head into Manhattan are basically burnt down, because that's what landlords do there, is that they do these fires to do these claims to get money. So you have a lot of these abandoned buildings, and you remember the smoke that emanated from those buildings. So it just looked like a different country, or different, like a worn, torn country, just undescribable. And yet when I saw what happened with Andrew, unbelievable devastation everywhere. I mean, there was not like a single leaf on a tree anywhere. Everything was open and bare, and it was kind of traumatic for me. And I didn't think that I would feel that way. And I felt lucky that we were on the exact same power grid as our neighborhood police. So we lost power for like a day or so. But that night when the hurricane was over and I looked up at the stars, there was no lights anywhere. So I got to see some fantastic stars that night. But again, the next day we get the power up and everything's good for us. But, you know, as we look at the reports about what's happened down south, it was just a terrible thing. So since then, you know, we've grown to be more aware of what we need to do and to help mitigate whatever disasters comes our way in regards to hurricanes. So since then, nothing much had happened. And I think the major one, this is when I think 2005 Katrina hit and we lost power, but we were okay because it just went through us pretty quickly. And then of course what happened in Louisiana, New Orleans. So that wasn't good news for them. And then we get hit by Wilma shortly thereafter, and that was only like a category one, so we were out with power again. So hence, if you have no power and you got nothing else to do, well, that's how my son was born. So a little too much information there, but you know, that's what happens. But this is the creepy part that I want to talk to you about. One of the things that it's really frustrating if you ever lived through a hurricane is that if you have no power, and you know Miami, it's very humid, and sometimes you don't get a breeze anywhere. So I didn't want to sleep inside the house, even though we had all the windows open, there was nothing coming in. So I decided to sleep outside in the back, in the backyard, basically in this porch area that's kind of screened off. So it's perfect. So I have one of these nice camper chairs that I prop my feet up, and you know, it's getting late and I still have my little portable radio. So I'm listening to, it was Art Bell, Coast to Coast. And I'm like, it's late at night. I got nothing else. I don't want to hear music. I just want something to kind of take my mind off things. So one of the things that I'm listening to is something in regards to a Bigfoot recording. Or a Sasquatch, depending on which region you refer to that creature as. So basically, they played this interview that I'm listening to, and then they played an audio clip of what this thing was. So I wanted to play this for you, and then you'll hear this in a moment. Give me a second. So this is the noise that started to play after the interview paused for a moment. And then all of a sudden, I get a knock on the door, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I hear a muffled, sir, it's the police. I'm like, what the hell? Jen? And I'm calling her, she's dead asleep. And I'm calling at her again, it's like, were you on the phone? And I was like, what? Were you on the phone with the police? No. And then I go to the door. Of course, I don't open the damn door because I'm not stupid. So I'm looking through the peephole. It's like, can I help you? Yeah, I'm from the police. And I got a call from Jennifer. And I'm like, no one called the police. And I'm starting to freak out because I can't see anything out of the peephole. And about a moment or two went by, and it's like, no, everything's fine. There's nothing here. And it's like, well, I'm calling about a report of a disturbance or something to that effect. I'm like, I don't know if this was legit, but hearing this weird Bigfoot thing and then hearing a knock on the door just scared the ever-living crap out of me. And I will always remember this. And of course, now you have at least an idea of what I went through, but I'm just like, wow, that really scared me. There are things that scare me. Most of the time, I'm okay to get through life and not be hampered by that. That was one of those moments that I don't ever want to go through again, because I did not know if the person on the other side was the police, and how this happened at the exact same time that I'm playing this recording. After, you know, we got hit by a hurricane, I'm like, oh, geez, Rick, we're going to die. So that was my second experience that's kind of memorable. But honestly, we haven't had a major hurricane since then. And this is, again, 2005. So now, 2017, my kids are pretty much have grown up along the way. And this is really not so much of a big deal, but we haven't had a hurricane in a very long time. Every year we prepare, and then every year it seems like the hurricanes come, and then somehow they get diverted back out to sea. So we get very lucky and almost complacent at times, because we haven't had one in over a decade and such. So when we got our notice that we had to now close the library, we had 2 days to prepare ourselves, but of course we've been preparing long before then. I was still in Atlanta with Mr. Gene. We were at Dragon Con, so by the time I got back and started work, we had about a day or two to get the library ready, and then we shut down, and then 2 days to get our house ready, and of course everyone else's. So we're waiting. The shutters are up. We have our supplies. We have things to do. And for the most part, we're waiting for almost 2 days to before it even hits us. So the worry was, at one point, it was going to go east and hit Miami directly, and then start going west, in which the Keys ultimately got hit. And, of course, we are still part of that big hurricane because it's 400 miles wide. So there's really no place that you can hide from other than your house, and hopefully that it was secure. You just have to kind of ride it out. It happens. So we just go on. But prior to that, my son, who loves Swedish fish, open up a box, start eating his candy, and somehow one bite was too hard, and out came his tooth. So the Swedish fish had an actual tooth inside. It was the most disgusting thing. So not only is he bleeding, but he has the Swedish fish with a tooth in it and is covered with blood. So that was an interesting little bit of news before the hurricane hit. It was a good laugh. And then Saturday rolls around. The rain is coming down pretty hard. So far, everything is good. We've been through torrential rains. This is Miami. This is what happens, especially during the summer months. Sunday morning, we lost power around 9-something. So by that time, I'm not that worried because, again, the hurricane is in full effect. We should be done in a couple of hours. We should be okay. What do you do when lights go down? Well, the kids were up and we weren't going to do another baby-making session here. So we decided to play Monopoly. So I made a kind of makeshift lamp from one of these big lamp flashlights, had it over the dining room table, and we played Monopoly. And it was my son's first experience with it, and I think my daughter's as well. And the four of us played Monopoly for at least 4 to 5 hours. And I've never played Monopoly that long with that many people, and that all the property was bought by everybody. I've never gone to that point. So that was amazing to begin with. And then he would not stop playing Monopoly. I'm like, Richard, we just played like 2 hours ago. I don't want to play another game of Monopoly. So that was just, it drove me nuts. So once the hurricane left, he went to the in-laws and they got into the mix with him. But I want to read. And that was the one thing that I don't really get to do enough of, because I'm doing too many podcasts between here and work, and I'm always online. I'm doing research or prepping shows or editing shows, or, you know, it's just that plus a day-to-day business. It's just I don't have the pleasure of just reading. So with no power, I got into my old comics. Since I had a couple of tubs of comics that I've been collecting since I was a kid, and I started going through them, I read a What If book called What If Reed Richards Had Died During the Execution or the Trial of Galactus, something to that effect. And I really loved it. I really love going back to an issue that I vaguely remember, but I also remember how much I enjoyed reading comics. So I read an Elseworlds Batman story, and I started getting really into this. I'm like, you know, this might be an actual idea that I may do next year, in which I will be doing like a separate podcast like I do for Rewatch and I do my verses. But this one would be, I would talk about what's in my box, which doesn't sound right when I said it, but it's more of what's in my my box of collection. And I will maybe pick 3 or 4 comics and I'll read them and talk about what I thought about them, what was important about it, what is significant about it, what's the value of it, because I'm sure it's zero now, because everything is almost worthless, this huge comic collection. And I thought, well, that might work. Because again, I really miss a good simple story. It didn't have to be these long, huge arcs that covers an entire summer, like they do the big summer event for DC and Marvel. So I wanted to go back to simpler times. And, you know, for the most part, you enjoy those small moments. And that's what I was happy about. It's just having a little comic book, enjoying that moment of quiet time. And of course, enjoying my moments with playing Monopoly with my family, which also was great. So, and then once the power came up, we did not have power, but my in-laws had power. So I had to stay over there. And, you know, you make do. It's what you have to do. So I wound up watching Friends from College on Netflix, Marco Polo Episode 1, which reminded me, I don't know why Marco Polo was training martial arts, but it kind of reminded me of Danny Rand. I'm like, hey, he's a much better Danny Rand than Danny Rand. I started watching The Black Hole again through Hoopla. So again, my digital library has that movie. I'm very happy. And of course, the Sci-Fi News podcast has the beginning soundtrack of The Black Hole. So again, it's near and dear to my heart. Then I saw the first episode of The Orville. Wasn't it crazy about it, but if you're listening to this podcast, the previous podcast, I actually did a review of the first 3 episodes. So if you get a chance, take a listen. You'll be surprised. And our power came back about 9:15, which is September 15th, Friday. Yeah. So from that point on, it's good to be home. in your own place. We still didn't have internet, but we had power, so plugging the AC and cleaning out the house and all that. So we're watching Pacific Rim again, and I got to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Why did I not see this in the movie theaters? It's beyond me. But I can point to this. After a while, and I've read, I think, maybe three books of Harry Potter. I've watched up to the fourth movie, which I think is The Order of the Phoenix. Midway through The Order of the Phoenix, I just got sick and tired of Harry Potter this and Harry Potter that. I got really sick of it. I got turned off by it. I didn't think he was the end and be all, like the Messiah, the child that is going to bring order and peace to this universe. I got sick of it. I didn't care about it. But when I saw this, The Fantastic Beasts, oh my God, that universe, like, if you're going to do a good prequel and expand a universe that you already kind of know, this does it perfectly. And I've never been a fan of fantasy necessarily, but everything here, I just drooled. I just love this movie. And I just had one of the best times, and I fell in love with this movie. And that doesn't rarely happen, in which I get so, oh my God, I've never seen magic be done this way. Kind of like when you have like Thor talking about how you explain how magic and science are one and the same. So it's like when you see a certain thing a certain way, and like it blows your mind. So now that we know there's a wizarding school in America and there are other schools all over the world, and that the nomads is what we refer to here in the States as opposed to the muggles overseas, and I'm like, that's fantastic. That is actually fantastic, and I really got into it. So I'm now eager to see the next two movies, so I'm just like, thank you for having time to do this. So I was really happy about that. All right, so again, this is like me yammering, but I wanted to give you at least an idea of what has been happening. So along the way, I hear this news that I'm just like, yeah, it makes total sense why they pick him. So Colin Trevorrow, whatever, Colin was going to direct Star Wars Episode 9. And if you know that name, he was the one who directed Jurassic World. And I remember a couple of interviews that I remember him talking about how great he felt about this project and how he was almost sad that he would not be able to be as an audience member watching a new Star Wars movie because he's the one who has to make it. And then the news came out that he quit or he got fired due to creative differences. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. We have the Han Solo problem. And of course, it's been resolved with Ron Howard. So now you have this gap as to who's going to fill it. That's a problem. Because you're trying to crank a movie every year and now your assembly line of movies is in jeopardy. So who are you going to get? J.J. Abrams. Alright. I'm not going to say that that's a bad decision. From a business point of view, that's your go-to guy. That's your guy that got your franchise started over again. So even though I hated The Force Awakens, and I've grown to like Force Awakens, it's nothing like Rogue One that I love more so. So we have Star Wars, right? But we also had Star Trek, and J.J. Abrams directed the second one, which was Star Trek Into Darkness, which I'll be doing a podcast that on that soon as a rewatch. It's not a direct sequel. That's always been my argument, is that a director who did a great movie should never direct the sequel. And The Kingsman also came out, which I had to do that podcast with Gene, which I have to find out, does that break my theory? Because we talked about James Gunn and the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and how much we liked it, but it didn't have the exact same feeling or the elements that we loved from the first one. So, but we had this agreement that he has not liked Force Awakens as much as he did when we first did that podcast. And he thinks Rogue One is a much better movie. So, since we have a leap in between movies, it's quite possible we're okay. We'll be alright. But seriously, if I wish they're going to miss someone else other than J.J. Abrams. But in this late stage of the game, you know, they've already, I think, started pre-production, or they're going to go into production later this year. So you really can't have someone who is that outside, that green, come in and take over this project. You need to have someone who's done this before. And the answer is simple. It's J.J. Abrams. So, you know, it is what it is. I just hope that in the end of the day, that even though Disney has made its investment of $4 billion to buy this right, the movie rights from George Lucas, that they're not shooting themselves in the foot. I like the idea of every year we get a Star Wars movie. Whether it's a sequel, part of the trilogy, or a standalone movie, which we're going to get a Han Solo movie, and then maybe we'll get an Obi-Wan Solo movie. That'll be kind of cool. Oh, what about a Darth Vader solo movie? That'll be awesome. But, or even Princess Leia. I would go with that. But, is it going to lessen the feeling of, well, we got a Star Wars movie this year. You want to see it? Nah, we've seen so many every year. The reason why Force Awakens was spectacular in the box office is because we haven't had a movie since the prequels, and that was over a decade ago. So, and before then, we had the prequels. The reason the first one was successful, because we haven't had a movie since Return of the Jedi, and that was back in 83. So, yeah, if you create a hunger, people will eat it up. But they know they're going to get fed regularly. Well, they'll say, well, maybe we'll watch it. Maybe it'll be on DVD. And I'll watch it when it comes out. That's my only thing. Star Wars may not become the special thing that we loved all these years, because now we get it on a regular basis. Unlike Star Trek, which we're kind of in limbo with the movies, but we have now at least Star Trek Discovery. So, we'll talk about that in another episode. Alright, so the other bit of news, we have Bernie Casey. Unfortunately, he had passed away. And Harry Dean Stanton, I don't want to forget, as an honorable mention, that he has also passed away. And that was our guy, Pretty in Pink, Alien, great little cameo in the Avengers, like, son, you got a condition. Talking to Mark Ruffalo. And when he's a human again. So, love Harry. But Bernie is someone who has done a great deal of work. But if you remember him, he was friends with Benjamin Sisko on DS9. And he was also another captain who decided to fight along the side of the Maquis. And it was a really good episode, and I really enjoyed their performances together. But for me, this is going back old school. This is something where, this is like the beginnings of me liking stuff that normal people would just get, like, turned off. He did a movie called Gargoyles. This was TV. This wasn't like a major film or whatever, but a TV movie. in which there was a scientist and his daughter are out to talk to an old man who claims to have the bones or the remains of this creature. And of course, we discovered that gargoyles are real. And the head gargoyle is played by Bernie Casey. And the makeup for that period is phenomenal. And they got the context in the eye. And of course, they altered his voice. But for its time, if you have never seen Gargoyles, and it's going to be a link in my show notes, it's on YouTube, and I watched that recently. It's really good in the sense of fact that this is the 70s. This was ahead of its time, and it's a great little... This is what you can do with a horror movie without having to be over-the-top torture porn. So, I love monsters. I love monster movies. This was the beginnings of my love for that kind of genre. It's really good. I mean, it's not good in the sense that it's the best movie ever, like Citizen Kane. No, it's not. But you can appreciate what they were doing back then. And also, the daughter was Jennifer Salt, who, if you know the name, she also played Eunice in a TV show called Soap, which I loved also, which was a big comedy show on ABC. So, it's a terrible loss, and I really hate to see that has happened, but, you know, we've talked about this. Let's celebrate the people that we have now. They're all doing great stuff. So our last bit is going to be, all right, we're doing this. Yes, we are. James Cameron wants to reunite with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton to bring back the Terminator series. Okay. The original talk that I heard was that Cameron wanted to talk about why did the robots, the Skynet, whatever, decide to make a model that looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He thought that was a fascinating story as to what he would do to make this another series. All right. Well, in fairness, going back to what Cameron is doing, you know, we got like four sequels of Avatar that he has not yet finished. And this is 2017. I think we're not going to see those movies until sometime in the 20s. And then that's when they're going to start making these Terminator movies. Look, the first movie was fantastic. Second one blew me away because it's rare that you can make a better sequel than the original. Kind of like Star Wars was great, but then you throw in Empire Strikes Back, it may be even superior to its original movie. Godfather 2 over The Godfather. In any case, the franchise really does struggle in number 3 because you really had the Terminatrix, even though Arnold is there. I mean, if they're going to be duking out robot versus robot, we've seen this already, and it was a snore. Terminator Salvation was something that I thought it was kind of interesting because the Terminator TV series was out and Summer Glau was kind of a new model of a Terminator in which Sam Worthington, I believe, was in Terminator Genesis also looks to be the exact same model. And I thought, oh, if they can tie that in together, that'll be awesome. But that didn't happen because why? I don't know why. We're going to get now that Terminator Genesis, in which they're exploring or re-exploring, but now a different Terminator storyline altogether. And no, it was not good. It was a hot mess, and I didn't care for it. So, look, it's one thing to say, you know, we should continue the franchise. It's another thing to bring back the two people that started it and bring them back into the fold. And I'm just thinking, look, didn't you, Sarah Connor, mention that there is no fate but what we make? Let's not make this into crap. I don't want this to be the fate that this is what we're going to get is crap. I think we're better off. Let's just stop with the Sarah Connor. Let's do something different. Let's expand that universe a la Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Maybe we'll go to Europe and we'll have European Terminators killing all the Muggles. That'll be awesome. Let's do something different. I would be fine with that. I just think we've been down this road too long. We've been down this road before. Let's do something different. Again, you want to do this? Fine. But let's do something different that we haven't seen before. Because now it's become so many times copied over itself that it's hard to figure out where you're going to tell the story from. And even if you tell something that's interesting, who cares at this point? Really? Who cares? All right. So those are my two cents. Those are my big three topics. I'm okay for right now. I still got a lot more podcasts that I have to produce. So I'm going to end this podcast because I'm on my lunch and I got to go. You can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. Again, thank you very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.